Amen. Thank you all very much. And you recognize Dale Norris's grandson, right? So those of you who went to school with Dale will be pleasantly encouraged by William's presence leading us today. I couldn't even fathom that Dale would have a grandson who could sing, much less sing like that. So, and Mayla, Danya, everybody, thank you all very much for the music, getting us started. They're going to sing some more for us in just a second. I just want to give you a welcome. Thanks for coming to the campus today. We're really glad to be able sort of just to celebrate together our heritage and also where the Lord is taking us right now. And I'm blessed by every person I've been able to talk to this morning, each face I've seen, recognized. We're just honored to be a part of the heritage that's here. And I'll tell you sincerely where I am on being the president and on Criswell College. There's no way on God's green earth, and that's the only one we have available to us, there's no way on God's green earth I ever could have built Criswell College from the 1970 vision of Dr. Criswell into what it was when I came to be a professor in 2004. I never could have done it. I wouldn't have had any idea how to get it to that place. And for the Lord to take me from 2004 to 2014 becoming president, I wouldn't have known what to do as president when I was 2004, wouldn't have had a clue. And for the Lord to allow me to become the president in 2004 and hand me an institution that was ready to take on this strategic plan that we've been working for the last few years to arrive where we are today, it's just all evidence of His grace and His providence and of His using you to bring us to this point. And we're grateful for that. So I know I love you guys. I am honored to be a part of your heritage. Some of you love me. Some of you think I've gone crazy. I'll tell you what I've not gone crazy about. I will tell you where we have not gone off a single rail. We are 100% committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, every single word of it. And I'm not saying that to pander to you. I'm saying that because Scripture says some things some of us don't like. And we teach that part too. We teach all of it. And you know why? Because you made me learn to submit myself to Scripture and to teach what it says, whether I like it or not. And because of that, I think the Lord is using Criswell College to make a difference in the kingdom right now. And so I hope today you get the opportunity to talk to our professors, to see how varied the opinions are on campus about all kinds of things, but how solidly consistent they are about our confidence in Scripture. And the truth of Scripture is the foundation of everything that we do. When we say doctrinal integrity is the first of our core values, we really just mean by that all of our other doctrines come from Scripture. And our commitment to Scripture is to all of it, from beginning to end, for the actual truths that it gives us. And we stay in those truths all the time. So I am really proud to be a part of that heritage. I hope as you have the conversations with faculty members currently and faculty members past and with our vice presidents that you will be encouraged and moved by what the Lord is doing right now on the campus. I hope you'll be encouraged walking through the buildings and seeing the dormitory and seeing what He's doing even in this building. And the fact that, you know, you guys will not do this part of the tour. You should. I wouldn't know what to appreciate in it, and I doubt you want to do it. You don't want to get greasy. But you should take a tour of the new chiller. I mean, that's the thing that really matters here. We're talking since I came in 2004, every stinking summer, having to deal with can't use the classrooms this and can't use it in September because it's still 100 degrees outside and the chiller broke down. And now, you know, the thing that holds the ice is going to crash through the roof next month and whatever. Every year we had that problem. No more. So the Lord has blessed us this year with a new chiller, and you won't get to see that, but you should think about it every moment of the day, because that's the Lord's blessing on Criswell College. Anyway, there are 1,000 things like that. I hope, you know, some of us who are here every day, some of you who are new, and or some of you who've been here for a few years and you're here every day, we grow complacent with how the Lord has blessed us. And those of us who've worked so hard for the last 10 years or so, so that if you've not been on campus lately and you haven't heard all of these things, I hope at some point you run across all of it. But for the Lord to have brought us to a place where we get a SAC COC 10-year reaffirmation that says there are no recommendations for this institution is a profound statement. There are not very many institutions in the country who get that ever in their existence. And the Lord blessed us with that this time. And it wasn't accidental. Out of 7 substantive changes, we submit. Say, I'm going into administrator mode. So big. But I'm going to finish that sentence. Out of 7 substantive changes we submitted to SAC COC over the last 7 years, we got no pushback at all. We got through everything. And the Lord has blessed us with a school, with faculty, with administrators, with students who understand why we're doing what we're doing. So I am proud to be a part of that. I'm proud of the fact that you made it possible for this to happen. Again, it would not have emerged under me. It's a blessing for me to be able to sort of guide the ship at this point in its existence, and I pray it's a blessing to you too. So anyway, if you want to talk to me about anything, I don't withdraw from any conversation. I'm not reticent to have a discussion, peaceable, about anything at all. If it's not peaceable, it's your fault. That's not my fault. So we'll have a good time talking about anything because I love the Lord. I love what he's doing here, and I want to see his kingdom flourish and his word go forward, and I am proud to be a part of doing that together with you. So I'm also proud to be doing that with Benjamin Paredes and Jared Wellman. So they're sitting down here, and in a moment, after we sing a couple of more songs, Benjamin's going to come up. Benji's going to come up. He's an alum for, I don't know when you graduated, Benji, but I know it's on your card, but your card's upside down, so that's okay. When did you graduate? Seriously, in 2019. So Benji graduated in 2019. He pastors a significant church here in the Metroplex. I'll let him share, you know, that story with you. But we wanted you to hear a testimony from him about what the Lord's doing in his life as a pastor. Jared Wellman graduated in blah, blah, blah. And anyway, and he is, I love Jared. He's a pastor over at Tate Springs in Arlington. And he's going to share a word with us as well today. And they are both just typical, we think just typical, of what the Lord wants to do with Criswell College and makes us proud to be a part of it. So we hope you'll be blessed by their testimonies just as a standard, a sort of way of saying we love what God has done with the graduates of Criswell College, including you. So we're going to start with a couple of more songs after I pray, and then we'll continue in our fellowship and a little chapel time together. Father, we pray that you would bless this time together as we submit ourselves to you, worship you, but take a little joy in the fellowship that you allow us to have from our common experience. Having walked through hallowed grounds, either in the Spurgeon Harris building downtown, other rooms and places, different floors there, or here on this campus, or back and forth between the two for some, or now in the new program and with the Criswell 360 unfolding, and all of these different experiences all brought together by our commitment to doctrinal integrity and academic engagement and service experience and cultural influence for you, according to the word that you've given us in which we can place our full confidence. May our hearts and lives and words and even social media be shaped by our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you all. You may all take your seat. My name is Benji Paredes. I am the preaching pastor at Templo Betania. That is Bethany Temple in the city of Oak Cliff. It is a Spanish-speaking church. And it's amazing to be here and be able to share a little bit of my testimony and what God has done in my life through Criswell College. When I think about Criswell College and the extraordinary leaders that it's produced, both in ministry and professionally in the marketplace and in the culture, there are truly innumerable testimonies that could be shared. And so I consider it an honor to have the opportunity to share mine. I was raised in a Christian home. And my father was a traveling evangelist from La Ciudad de Guatemala, Guatemala, which is where they make some of the best tamales in the world. My mom is from Chihuahua, Mexico, where they make some of the best quesadillas and burritos in the world. So I am, in essence, a Guatamex, Guatemalan Mexican, Hispanic American. When my mom ended Bible school in Chihuahua and my dad left Guatemala, they came to the States. This is where they met and they got married. And eventually, God brought them to Dallas, Texas to take over a declining church, Templo Betania, Bethany Temple, where I minister now. And when I think about my early years growing up in the church, I always loved church life. I loved the ministry. I was extremely proud of my parents. I loved what they did, and I always valued those moments in the presence of God. But as a young person, as I started to grow and mature, I went through my own journey of questioning my faith. I went through a sort of Cartesian methodological doubt. I started to question my beliefs and began to break them down one by one in method until I realized one day I'm going to rebuild again on a solid foundation. I hadn't stopped believing in God. I still believed in God, but I questioned these meta questions like, why do I exist? What is my identity? Why am I here? And the greatest of all questions, what is truth? And as I was wrestling with these questions, God began to reveal himself to me. And I began to understand a little more and more about who he was, not only the God of my parents, but a personal encounter with him. So yes, I grew up in church, and then I met Jesus. So in the year 2012, I was praying and I was asking God to reveal what he wanted me to do. And as I was trying to identify my calling and understand my giftings and how God could use me in the ministry, one day I was driving home and I was switching radio stations. This was before Spotify. And as I was switching radio stations, I landed on this program called Coffee with Creamer. And there was a caller who was speaking to Dr. Creamer and asking her like this provocative theological question. And being the inquisitive, argumentative thinker that I was in the making, I immediately turned it up and said, ooh, how's he gonna respond to this? And I was so impacted by his articulation, his humility, his knowledge. So during the commercial break, someone said, Dr. Creamer is a professor at a school called Criswell College, and they begin to promote the school. So I immediately thought, I have to go to this school. I want to think this way. I want to learn more about what he was talking about. I knew nothing about the legacy of W.A. Criswell. I knew nothing about what Criswell has done in the formation of world-class leaders. I just wanted to think that way. So I started to find ways to come to this school. Yet unexpectedly that year in 2012, my dad, who was my hero, my idol, my pastor, died from cancer. He was such a healthy man. I mean, the healthiest man you can ever imagine. Extremely devoted to God, to his family. Extremely intelligent man, passionate man for the word of God. And yet God chose to take him. And right when I was on the precipice of this mountain of doubt and questioning, right as I was finding my footing and answering these meta questions from my own life, God hit me with the strongest of all blows, with the weight of his sovereignty and with human suffering, with understanding why the righteous suffer, with answering the question, why does a good God allow evil? I didn't call it theodicy back then. I didn't have the theological jargon, but it was real and present in my life, and I was only 19 years old. So nevertheless, though Dad had passed away and my entire world had been shaken, I chose determined to still come to Criswell College. And in the spring of the next year, in 2013, I enrolled, not knowing why I was studying here, what God would do in my life, or what ministry he had for me. But I came, and the journey to study theology, to know God, to deepen my faith, to reconcile those tensions between faith and reason began. At this point, I was newly wed. I was a young father. I was in the process of being restored and renewed by God and understanding my own role in the local church. And from the moment I came to Criswell College, I say this sincerely, it immediately impacted my life. It exceeded all of my expectations. It challenged every mindset, every paradigm, every thought that I had, every idea, theologically, politically, societally, philosophically, and on. I truly fell in love with this place. And even though in many regards I felt out of place, at the same time I felt at home. Because you see, I grew up in a Hispanic home, a Spanish-speaking church. I had never read the Bible in English, though I am a Hispanic American. I grew up reading the Bible in Spanish. So when I came here, I was coming in many regards from a different culture, a different context, a different perspective, a different denomination. Many of my friends at church or denominational leaders would ask me, what are you doing at Criswell College? And I would tell them, what are y'all not doing? Y'all should be at Criswell College. And so I loved this place. I was challenged. And even though I felt different, every professor made me feel welcome and made me feel like my questions mattered. And even when my questions by some weren't welcome, I insisted on them anyway. So I broke down all my beliefs, and Criswell started to help me build them back up. It was here that that calling to be a pastor and a preacher was clarified. It was here that I understood how to sharpen those skills and how to receive the formation to fulfill that calling effectively. And it was here that I learned that it is possible to be intellectual and not arrogant, and that it is possible to be a man of faith and not be ignorant. Every day that I came to class, I was so excited and eager to learn. I was truly challenged. I remember those times when, in an act of providence, in the coffee shop of Criswell College, debates would break out. And when that happens, you think today is gonna be a good day. I remember leaning in and hearing every type of debate. debates about Calvinism and Arminianism, debate about every theological topic you can imagine. And I loved those moments. I learned here how to debate and argue well. I learned how not to assume or generalize. I learned how to identify and acknowledge my own presuppositions, those things that I take for granted. I learned how to study the Word of God, both with discipline and devotion. And see, these classrooms became my training ground, my intellectual gym. They became my spiritual and theological school. It was here that I developed genuine friendships. It was here that iron of others sharpened mine. It was here that Dr. Metz broke out in tears as he exposited scripture from his Greek New Testament. And listen, that Greek New Testament is an institution in of itself. It was there that I learned that the Holy Spirit can speak to you loud and clear, even in Greek. It was here that Dr. Brooks taught me that, yes, it is possible to smile and laugh even in Hebrew 1, even despite the difficulty of the subject matter. It was here that Dr. Seitzler taught me the importance of political engagement and how as Christians we should not only make a difference now but make an eternal one, understanding that the here and now matters. It was at this school that Dr. Spencer taught me how faith can impact our culture, how to wrestle with postmodernism, and how to value and respect the arts as a Christian. It was here that Dr. Waddell taught me that faith and reason are not enemies, that they can dance together, that they are in harmony, and that as a Christian, I have a duty to defend my faith, a faith that is not blind, but that is reasonable. It was here that Dr. Bridger taught me to understand people of different cultures, to carry the burden of the Great Commission, and to understand that the Bible and the gospel are a great redemptive story, God's meta-narrative, and that I am a part of God's story. It was here that Dr. Bryant taught me the importance of spiritual formation, that he taught me to protect and guard my spiritual well-being, and that he taught me that godly men don't fall in the day, they've been crawling for a long time. It was here that Dr. Barry taught me that theology should lead not only to right belief, but also to right practice, that orthopraxy and godliness are the fruit of orthodoxy, and also he taught me to never root for the Dallas Cowboys. I lost half of you, but you'll come back. It was here that Dr. Graham, despite the fact that I am not even Baptist, taught me to appreciate and respect Baptist theology. It is here that he taught me to slow down and pay attention meticulously to the importance of the words we choose in theology, because words matter, because they're not just mere expressions or articulations. They ascribe meaning, and meaning should correspond to reality and to truth. It was here that Dr. Campbell taught me to exposit, to explain, to illustrate, yes, to illustrate many times God's word, and that I can be an expository preacher without having to change my personality. And it was here that he taught me to let the text drive the sermon. It was here that Dr. Wurzler, after an entire semester of studying theodicy and human suffering, told us, and I quote, "We end the semester with more questions than answers, but we have learned how to make the right questions and how to comfort those who suffer with the truth of an imminent God who is with us in our suffering," end quote. Little did I know that within that semester, a young girl from our church who was 19 years old would be killed in a car accident. She had a little baby girl that she left behind. Little did I know that in that semester, a member of our church who left church on Sunday and had just been reconciled with the Lord would be shot in front of his kids outside of his apartment in Oak Cliff. But I remembered the lessons from that class. I have more questions than answers, but I have an imminent God who is with us in our suffering. It was here that Dr. Hunter taught me the importance of research, understanding, and empathy in counseling. And he taught me how to write papers and how to ask proper questions when it comes to helping families who are hurting. I remember writing a paper on the LGBTQ community and researching the different origin theories of homosexuality. Little did I know that that semester a mom would bring her son who was struggling with same-sex attraction. And I was able to educate her and tell her, look, it's not a demon, it's not just a spirit. It is a sin, and with the power of Christ, he can overcome. It was here that Dr. Creamer taught me to love philosophy, because after all, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It was here that he taught me to dialogue with Plato and Aristotle, Aquinas, Kierkegaard, and yes, even Nietzsche, because the Bible does not shy away from the most difficult questions. It was here that I solidified my beliefs in the inerrancy of Scripture, in the harmony between faith and reason, and in my passion for the work of the local church. Because you see, we didn't come to Criswell College just to acquire knowledge. We came to Criswell College to be transformed, to be transformed by the words of the one who said, be like the wise man who builds on the rock and not the sand. Be like the wise man who hears these words and does them. And I've been on that journey through the storms and the waves and the rains and the push and the pull of life to remain in those true words. So I'm extremely grateful for Criswell College because these years have been more than formative. They've truly been life-changing. And I hope that my testimony inspired you today. So thank you for this time. I want to ask you to stand to your feet and join me in welcoming Pastor Jared Wellman as he comes and shares from the Word of God. God bless you all.
That was phenomenal. Thank you for that, brother. That needs to be framed. That needs to be printed out, called It Was Here, and then given out to every student who comes in here. It is so good to be back home. Amen. I look around this morning and I see people who have poured into me over the years, and I'm so humbled. I love Criswell College deeply. It is such a special place in my heart. And I want to share a little bit in a few minutes about how that's the case and why that's the case. But it all comes from a single verse in the Bible that really has served as kind of a governor and a counselor for me over the years in ministry. I've had the privilege of attending Criswell. I had over the course of 10 years for two different degrees, and there was a lot of deep and theological conversations that would occur, as was said earlier, in the coffee shop. This is where conversations over the eternal subordination of the Son or the functional subordination of the Son would occur, or premillennialism or postmillennialism or all-mill or pre-trib, and all of these different kinds of conversations, of course, Calvinism and Arminianism, but none of them were as deep and meaningful and as heated as the conversation that would ensue over why Criswell did not have a mascot. And so we would talk about this. We would lose sleep over this at night. And at one point, I remember, as I was thinking about homecoming, that we had at some point decided that we were going to adopt the squirrel as the Criswell mascot. And I'm not sure why. Some reasons may be that there was no one else that had the squirrel as a mascot. As a carrier of rabies, they're surreptitiously dangerous. Stanford has the tree, so there's, you know, a squirrel might be better. They climb on the tree. The New York Knicks, my favorite basketball team, who is on a record for 82-0 this year, by the way, after two games, they have underwear for their mascot. And so why couldn't Criswell have a rodent? Well, we realized that there was probably a good reason why we didn't adopt that, and so we just tried to go with the C, but nevertheless, no one in leadership ever caught on with any of our ideas. Now, after 10 years after 10 years of graduating and with my second degree in 2010, reflecting on homecoming, I was reminded of a verse that I think really serves as a mascot for Criswell, and that's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Whenever I attended here in the chapel, it hung on a banner, and I would read it just about every time I was on campus. And it was a verse that my student pastor, who led me to the Lord, who is also a graduate of Criswell, would say over me all of the time. And it was a verse that I know was very special to Dr. W.A. Criswell. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." I can't think of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 without thinking of Criswell College. The context of that verse is fascinating. It has to do with the Israelites who are in exile, in Babylonian exile. And that's hard for us. Whenever I teach on scriptures like this to our church in Arlington, it's hard sometimes to get our mindsets into what it means for someone to live in exile. As Americans, it's hard for us on this side of the world to understand that. Usually we see the news about people going into exile and coming to America, but it's hard for us to wrap our minds around what it means to lose our home and to be displaced. I think COVID has helped us wrap our minds around that a little bit, about what it feels like to be displaced. But the context of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 has to do with hope in the middle of exile. And so the prophet is giving us a message that tells us what will stand forever in the middle of things that are falling apart. But the tension in the text is fascinating, because what the prophet does here in verse 8 is that this voice that ends up crying out, that's supposed to be providing comfort for those in exile, actually shows how there is no comfort in mortal flesh. And so when he's trying to give them a message of peace and a message of hope and a message of comfort, what he does is he actually gives them something very different, because the preceding verses to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 talks about how flesh like grass will wither, how flowers will fade, that the beauty of flesh will fade. And this shows that the fading and transitory nature of human life, we are mortal beings and we will pass away. So even if Israel gets to go home, they still have mortality facing them there in the future. And then in case the people of Israel did not get this message, before he even gets to verse 8, he says the same thing. He reiterates it. He underpins it. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. He wants them to understand the reality of what they're facing. It's a desperate situation. It's not unlike what Jesus says when he pulls the disciples aside in the New Testament and says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And so the disciples naturally respond, well, it's impossible. And he says, that's the point. It's only possible with God. And that's the same message that the prophet is giving us here. And so the people are left in desperation. What hope is there, they're asking? What comfort is there, they're asking? We're in exile, and then we're going to die. And then comes the message, well, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. It's a great message of hope. Now, this verse itself not only reflects back to verses 6 and 7, but it also reflects back to verses 3, 4, and 5, which says this, a voice cries to the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground will become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. My Star Wars fans in here will understand, the Lord has spoken. And the raising of valleys and the lowering of mountains here has to do with preparing the way for a dignitary to come. So it's not unlike the phrase that we use today when we roll out the red carpet. And all of this language pushes to verse 5, which talks about the glory of the Lord being revealed. Ultimately, we understand this as the incarnation of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Isaiah, as you know, is considered often as the little Bible. 66 books broken up into the first 39 chapters that are not unlike the nature of the Old Testament, and the last 27 chapters really not being unlike that of the New Testament. And so the New Testament section, that would mean, begins here in chapter 40. And in chapter 40, this is where the New Testament begins in the book of Matthew, quoting Isaiah, talking about this voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Word made flesh. And so John is crying out in the wilderness about the Lord. And in the first 39 chapters, it's about God's judgment. Here in these last 27 chapters, it's a note of comfort for hope and the revelation, the coming of the Lord. So all this means is that God is speaking a word in the wilderness that provides hope that is deeper than merely being freed from exile, but ultimately finding hope in the person and the work of this one who is to come. And so as he's pushing towards verse 8 here in this chapter, all of this really is brought home in verse 3 whenever he talks about how this voice is crying out in a certain kind of place. It's calling out in the wilderness. In Hebrew, it's the midbar, which is a really fascinating word. Because in Hebrew, there are a bunch of different words that really refers to wilderness or to desert. There's Arabah, which comes from the root for arid. There's Orba, which has to do with desolation or laying waste. But the word midbar is a really fascinating word. It's a primary word, and it has rich insights, really because of its root. And it's a word with all-encompassing purpose for what God intends in our lives. And ultimately, what it means is this: it's sometimes translated as uninhabited land. And when we think of that, we often will think, well, it's uninhabited because people must not live there. But that's not really what the word means. It does not mean no one lives there, but it means that it's uninhabited in the sense that it needs cultivation. So all the seeds are there. It just needs cultivation in order for it to experience the life. And so the root of midbar is dabar, which just means the act of speaking. And so midbar means the place of the speaking. It's a place where God wants to speak and cultivate the seeds in flesh in order for the flesh to sprout the beauty of the flower, in order for the grass to sprout the beauty of the flower. But consider this in light of chapter 40, verse 3, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Consider it in the context of Matthew chapter 3, when John is talking about the one who is to come. Wilderness experiences have a way of making us desperate to hear God's voice. And so in the middle of exile, the prophet is giving the people a great hope about the revelation of the one who is to come. And it all has to do with the Word of God. The Word of God. That's their hope. It's not unlike Moses whenever he was in the wilderness. And he had left this place of slavery, and the people are thirsty, and they begin to complain, and they start to look back. They want to go back to where they were. And then God decides to speak to them at that rock, and he tells Moses to hit the rock. And so he hits the rock, and water miraculously comes out of that rock, and they're given water. And they go through the wilderness for all of these years, and they end up at another rock 40 years later, and as they're there, they're complaining again. They're thirsty. But this time, God gives a different command to Moses. He doesn't tell him to hit the rock. He tells him to do what? To speak to the rock. Why is that the case? I can't imagine any other conclusion than perhaps after 40 years of relying on God's word in the wilderness, he had hoped that whenever they were thirsty, that they would learn to rest on his act of speaking in the wilderness than what they were used to in Egypt, which was being hit as slaves. And so when God told Moses to hit the rock or to speak to the rock the second time, it was because he hoped that his people would have understood that the word of God stands forever and that they can trust him as they're living out their lives in the wilderness. And of course, Moses strikes the rock out of frustration, and God doesn't take too kindly of that because it miscommunicates what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says. It miscommunicates all of his ministry in the 40 years of the wilderness. And so all of this is to point us to the fact that this reveals the meaning of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. John 1, 14 takes care of this for us as well. The word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The word became flesh, and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 tells us that this word will stand forever. I surveyed once for a sermon series all the places in the Bible where Jesus stood. There's a lot of them. I just want to share a few as we get ready to close. The first is when he stood before Pilate on trial as the Son of God. He stood in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. He stood there and he read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61, and then he closed it and said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." He stood on the mount when he preached his famous sermon. He stood on the water in the middle of the storm. He stood on the beach to restore Peter. He stood beside the Father whenever Stephen was losing his life. In Jesus, we behold grace, the glory, and grace and truth. And in the scriptures that we get to hold in our hands, we also hold God's glory, full of grace and full of truth. Criswell College taught me this. When I came here, I did not know the Lord, and I didn't know that I didn't know the Lord. I thought I did. I was not raised a Southern Baptist. I was raised in a different denomination, and I was taught, whether it was intentional or not, that my salvation was through the church, that I needed a pastor or a priest to forgive me for my sins. I had someone in between me and God, and quite literally, I would lose sleep at night over this. I would have nightmares on whether or not I was a Christian or not. I would wake up in a sweat, just wondering whether or not, if I were to lose my life that day, where I stood with the Lord. And at 16 years old, when I started to drive, the Lord directed me across from this church, St. Peter Church, across the street to First Baptist Church, Gun Barrel City. And I went to a youth group there, and I went to a Sunday morning sermon, and I heard for the very first time an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd never been invited into a relationship with God before, and it changed my life. It rocked my world and set me on a two-year journey on whether or not I was a Christian. And for 2 years, I wrestled with that, and I would just try to convince myself that I was a Christian because I had gone to church and because I tried to be a good person. And then I came to Criswell College, you know, based on that fact, and tried to build a testimony off of that until I went to Dr. Street's class and a personal evangelism class, and he asked us to share a testimony where we had to write down our salvation experience, and I really had nothing to say. And I realized in that moment that I really didn't know Jesus personally. around that time in a Sunday morning service, there was a revival at our home church. Pastor preached a message and he shared the gospel, and I knew that I needed to give my life to Christ. So I went down to the altar and I did that. My youth pastor put his arm around me and he said, you know, 1 John 5 says you can know that you can know. And I'll never forget that. And the difference between that moment and everything before was that Criswell had taught me the inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God. And whenever I opened up the Bible to 1 John 5 and I realized that I could trust God in His Word and that I could know that I'm saved, not because of all the things I try to do for God, but because of all the things He's already done for me in Christ, I walked away from that Sunday morning service a brand new believer. And now the Lord has used this verse over all these years where I've been able to tell many people the same thing who come through our church who have a background similar to that, which they're wrestling because they're trying to earn their way up to God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Criswell College taught me the importance of that. And so when I open the Bible and Sunday mornings at our church, and when I open it in discipleship meetings, and when I share it with the lost, I'm standing on something that I know will last forever. And that makes all the difference. Thank you, Criswell, for everything you've done to invest in me. Would you bow your heads and pray? Father, we love you so very much. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you've done with Criswell. It, Lord, is a tremendous school. I thank you for Dr. Criswell, for his vision all those years ago. And I thank you for all of the people that you've sent through these doors and trained. And just as we said earlier, it was here and it's been here that you've done these remarkable things. Lord, I thank you for using Criswell not just to train me in the ministry, but to lead me to you. Forever indebted to you for that. I thank you for everyone in this room, for how you've used them, how they've poured countless hours into students in the classrooms, how they've done the administration behind the scenes, those who have given. Lord, I'm a product of people who have invested financially into my education. But I thank you more than anything, Lord, for a school that from the very beginning has been founded on the inerrancy of the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that they're teaching student after student the importance of that in a world that's falling apart. We know that the Word of God stands forever. So, Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Benji and Jared, thank you guys so much. You guys can have a seat. Man, the two testimonies of thousands, and if you're here, you know those are not the minority. That's the students we produce. We produce students who know and love the Word of God and have gone out into the world, both as pastors and as everything else, to tell people about Jesus and singing about the cross and singing about when the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. It's a good day. Thank you guys for being here. I'm Rob Collingsworth. I'm the guy that sends you all those emails. As the director of external relations, I came here just over 6 years ago in a different role, and about 2.5 years ago moved into this role. And my job contains building partnerships with churches and organizations outside of Criswell College for the sake of the college and our students, and it also includes engaging with alumni. I love the part of my job that has me engaging with outside partners, but I cherish getting to connect with our alums because we have the best alumni in the world, and you guys make my job a joy. 35 years ago and some months, I was born. My dad was serving a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And one of the first people to ever hold me in their arms after I was born was my dad's pastor and boss and his wife, Dr. Jim and Ruby Bryant. I had no idea, obviously then and even for a long, long time, the legacy of Dr. Bryant, the legacy of Dr. Criswell, and what he had done as the founding dean. of Criswell College, but a little over 6 years ago, I got the call from Dr. Creamer to come here, and what a joy it has been to serve you guys and to serve the Lord here. We're so glad you guys could be here. We were planning on doing this last year, and then obviously COVID happened. But even though we're not having homecoming at our 50th anniversary, it's our 51st. We're still so glad you guys are here. In a few minutes, we're going to dismiss. We're going to head to lunch. We've got a great slate of activities for you. So we've got some amazing barbecue upstairs in the gym. So after the band sings the doxology as kind of a benediction for us, we're gonna head up to the gym, have some lunch, present some awards, do some other things, and we'll send you on the way. But I just wanted to thank you guys for being here and welcome you back to Criswell College. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then the band will sing us out in a benediction. God, you are so good to us to allow us to be a part of your work. And Lord, just as you say in your word in Ephesians 4, that the equippers equip the saints to go and do the work of the ministry, so you have allowed Criswell College to equip the equippers, to equip the saints. We are so, so humbled to be a part of the work that you have done here, and we stand in a long line of those who have gone before us to make the work we do today possible. God, I pray that you would bless our time together as we have worshiped and will continue to do so, as we celebrate and as we recognize the incredible work you have done over 51 years at Criswell College. And it is in the name of and because of your son, Jesus, that we pray all of these things. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy.